Slow down, you crazy child. You're so ambitious for a juvenile. But then if you're so smart, tell me why are you still so afraid?
Back on Downtown, it is time for Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. We welcome in our friend Eric Meehan. Hello there, Mr. Meehan.
Good afternoon slash evening, Rich. And thanks for throwing on another one of my faves.
That's,
I grew up with that album.
I love that album. And when I didn't know the story behind it until many years later, that that Billy Joel's dad had left the family and gone back to Vienna. And so for him, Vienna represented all the things he hoped to have in life.
Dear God, I didn't know that. Now I need to do some research and probably cry it out.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yes.
There you are. You know, it's always so interesting. Obviously, I come from a musical background, and one of the things about, you know, doing that is that they make you, you know, research the stuff you play, sing, etc. But one of my favorite things as a kid was sort of, you know, taking in the lyrics for myself. And it's so interesting sometimes what you come up with and then what the artist actually was inspired / intended. And you're just like, that's not where my mind was at.
No.
It's truly, truly a crazy thing. Well, I hope everybody's well. I am gearing up for another baseball game here. I'm going to be leaving right at the end of this segment to take on. I don't even know who we're taking on these days. There's five teams. We're one of them. So it's like, you know, we show up and it's one of the same people. Rotary. My son is yelling down from upstairs.
Oh, okay.
On Rotary. So there you are. We're coming for you, Rotary. And I also just had to warn him that he may have to get in some catcher's gear at one point soon.
Oh, boy.
We're working on that. Yeah, yeah. He's like, this is really like a big quad workout. I'm like, yeah, you squat. Right. Get used to it, son. When you're one of the, you know, it's sort of inevitable. It's like, you know, you joke, like the best players on a team, like you play, you're the quarterback or you're the shortstop / catcher / pitcher. Or you're the point guard, or you're, it's always like, it's kind of funny. I'm like, well, that's what you get. So anyway, never mind that. Let's talk about, we've been talking about sort of in anticipation of the next 6 months of talking about, you know, where all the wines that you love come from. We're talking about what makes the places special that, you know, is, you know, why you sometimes pay an astronomical sum for some bottles and why some bottles cost very little and are still wonderful. You just have to sort of know the tricks and trades. So we were talking about why the Cistercian monks and Burgundy itself played such a big part of the what we call the Appellation rule system, right? All those records kept over hundreds of years about what grew well here and what grew well there and what didn't, in fact. We kind of skipped over Chablis because we kind of ran out of time, but I did want to mention that Chablis is kind of an interesting offset of Burgundy, which in itself should sort of be taken as the asterisk that exists, I suppose, in the Appellation system, though part of Burgundy. They don't have any red Chablis, right? So Chablis is this region separated from Burgundy by about 60 kilometers. Ancient seabeds, plural, Kimmeridgian and Portlandian, the same seabeds that are in the Cliffs of Dover that sort of runs straight through all the way under the English Channel. So there are outliers to various appellations. Yes, it's Burgundy, but it's not. It's only white Burgundy, and specifically it's Chablis, Petit Chablis, and the crews of Chablis. So this is to say that in any given appellation, even ones with assiduous rules, you can find, as I said, outliers, things that are, well, these are so good that we're going to sort of claim them as well, which is going to lead me today to the New World. So I think what's important to realize is that the new world of wine is not new at all. Obviously, and we're going to be talking about these places. We think about the new world primarily probably as our own continent, and specifically California, Oregon, Washington, but of course also the East Coast now. And Argentina, maybe Chile, you think about maybe Australia, maybe you think about South Africa. But indeed, as we'll talk about in a couple of months, South Africa is probably one of the oldest wine regions in the world. Geologically, it is the oldest wine region in the world. The rocks there are the oldest ones that you will find producing vines anywhere. And they've been growing grapes there since the mid-1600s. So it's not new, but that's what we call the New World. But they took this idea of certain plots of land being special-er than other plots and saying, okay, we are going to claim these as this particular region. Some regions like you know, they do in France, whittle things down to sort of what we call villages, right? So plots surrounding a specific town. Some are, you know, whittled down to single vineyards. So in the New World, essentially, you know, you're thinking about things that settlers brought, the ideas, but they decided to adapt them to wherever they were. And of course, for instance, a huge difference is that, you know, in the New World, especially, thanks to, among others, Robert Mondavi in the 70s, we think about grapes, not so much land. And we will indeed get to that as we talk about that. But it's important to know that, like, people sort of started to lose track of the land itself, and that has permutated in varying ways. That is not to say that they ignored the old world teaching. I mean, you know, they were the greatest successes, for instance, in California, were pretty much all European transplants. But it's almost, I hate to say it, it's almost like capitalism. Capitalism drove them to say, okay, we can't go with these old world practices. We do need to sort of embrace what the common person knows, that is to say, grapes, flavor profiles, not you have to know that in a particular village they grow Syrah, and that's what you're expecting in the bottle. They just said, okay, we need to sort of change our mindset. And so they did. But that's not to say that they ignored the fact that terroir was extraordinarily important. And to that end, there are wonderful established single vineyards in pretty much everywhere in the New World as well. In America, for instance, our first single vineyard was established in 1966. It was the Heights' Martha's Vineyard. It's in Sonoma. You can go there today. And that was, you know, the first one where, like, all right, we're doing this the old world style. But similar to other places in the old world, just because it's a single vineyard doesn't mean it's a single varietal. And indeed, it is not. And that's the case in a lot of places. They said, okay, the soil is really good, but it's not necessarily good for only one thing. Whereas, you know, for instance, in Burgundy, where we're sort of drawing all this knowledge from, they're like, okay, this is the Pinot Noir plot, this is the Chardonnay plot, and nothing else will work, period, except for those asterisks we were talking about. So in America, because we're going to sort of start talking about that before we talk about the rest of the world, our own system of regionality or official regionality, delimited zones, is called the AVA, the American Viticultural Areas, right? They are not ranked. They are like Burgundy has Premier Cru and Grand Cru and things like that. They're not ranked. They're simply sort of held on reputation. And the reputation, for better or worse, doesn't just come from the land. It comes from the quality of the winemaker who's working with the fruit, because a lot of these places sell their fruit to winemakers, which is no different than anywhere else. But it's just important to consider that if you're drinking a wine, for instance, that's made from, you know, say Shea Vineyards, other people make Shea Vineyards wine, and Shea Vineyards also make Shea Vineyards wines, and so it's important to realize maybe Shea kept the best fruit for themselves, maybe they didn't, maybe they have contracts, so this is all variable. Under U.S. law, important to know. Only 95% of the fruit in a vineyard designated wine must come from the vineyard. That's, if it matters to you, that's the fact. What was I going to say? Also, by the way, USDA law, if it's from a particular region like Napa, only 85% of the grapes have to come from that. So just bear in mind that it's, and I can't stress this enough. It's not because anyone's trying to pull one over on you, folks. It really isn't. No one wants you to drink their wine and say, wow, this isn't quite all there. They want you to drink their wine and be pleased. So they have had, and this really is old world. I mean, if you go like old school, the idea of blending and trying to make the best product possible as opposed to adhering to any single standard, as long as you're not doing things like adding sugar and doing, you know, manipulation is bad. Manipulation, bad, but quality product, good. So just bear in mind that thing when you hear these sort of standards. It's not designed to hoodwink anyone. It's just designed to please you. So that's it. I'm basically out of time. My son is down here gathering his stuff. Wish us luck. We are undefeated so far. Yes, it's quite a bit of pressure, but it's you know, I mean, it's awfully fun. We were just watching Bull Durham the other night, my son and I winning, you know. It's so much better than losing.
By the way, big anniversary coming up.
He learned a lot from that movie.
I bet he did.
Yes, sir.
Friday. Yes. Friday's the 48th anniversary of the Judgment of Paris.
Oh, my gory. We are, well, but more important, Thursday is my daughter's 14th birthday.
Oh, my goodness.
Both important, but one more drastically immediate than the other.
No question about that. Good luck tonight, Coach.
Thank you, sir. Everybody be well. Talk to you next week.
See you next week. Thanks, Eric. Eric Mahan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the bottle here on Downtown.